It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss energy costs for Wisconsinites and proposals that could impact competitiveness and transparency in the construction of utility transmission lines. Call in with a question. You can share your comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Megan Novak is State Director of Americans for Prosperity Wisconsin. That's a libertarian conservative political advocacy group. Megan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks so much for having me on.
Good morning. So a bill in the state capitol that recently had a public hearing would limit which companies can bid for utility projects here in Wisconsin. How would a right of first refusal affect utility competition in our state?
That's a great question. So what we're looking at right now, and I don't want to get too into the weeds, but what we're looking at is about $15 billion worth of projects for new transmission lines coming to Wisconsin over the next couple of years. That's a lot of money that ratepayers will be responsible for paying for these projects. And what we're talking about at the end of the day is, should companies have to competitively bid to have the best possible cost for Wisconsin consumers, or should we just hand those projects over to two companies and with a fingers crossed handshake that maybe they'll try their best? And I strongly believe, Americans for Prosperity strongly believes, that competition at the end of the day is what's best for consumers. And those competitive bids are what will drive down costs and let all of us, from Wisconsin families to small business owners to our big companies, save a little bit on those monthly electricity bills that we're seeing.
Can you give us just a bit of a working knowledge? What are right of first refusal laws in the energy transmission and the build out that you're going to see in the next couple years with these projects?
Of course. So right now, the regional entity that oversees Wisconsin and a number of other states, it's called MISO, is in total doing $100 billion of these massive transmission line projects. So lines that are similar to the Cardinal Hickory Creek line down in southwest Wisconsin. And back in 2011, the federal energy regulators used to have a right of first refusal, which simply meant that the incumbent company for these transmission lines could get the initial project. And if they said, yes, I want it, then there was no competitive bids required. They automatically got the project without any additional transparency or oversight in a bidding process. They rescinded that in 2011 and said, okay, states, you make up your own decision. And since then, we've seen a couple states around the country pass these laws to provide this protectionist, crony capitalism monopoly to their incumbent utility companies. Wisconsin tried to do the same last session. It was defeated. Americans for Prosperity was very engaged in that. And now we're seeing the same effort being pushed by utility companies again, because like I said, there's this massive pot of money of projects coming to the state that they don't want to have to competitively bid for. They just want the projects so that they are able to get them without the competitive bid and able to make that profit on their projects.
When you look around the country, other states like Iowa and Texas, Minnesota have introduced or enacted laws limiting utility bids. How are right of first refusal laws affecting utility prices in other states?
Well, I just want to quick clarify that in Iowa, their state Supreme Court struck down their law for unconstitutional log rolling and then said in their opinion that this legislation is quintessential crony capitalism. So Iowa's law is no longer valid.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Valid. Yes. And then Texas is actually on hold, too. They did a federal court of appeals challenge, and the court of appeals that covers Texas, which is the Fifth Circuit, also struck down their law. And so now we're waiting to see if the U.S. Supreme Court takes up this issue. So I guess of those, the three that you mentioned, Minnesota is the only state that still has an active right of first refusal law. And really, from when Minnesota passed theirs in 2012, in which I think it's a little ironic that in 2012, when they passed their law, one of the big companies that is pushing ROFR in Wisconsin was dead opposed to ROFR in Minnesota at the time, saying in their testimony that it would increase costs for electricity users in Minnesota. And now all of a sudden they're saying it'll save costs for Wisconsin electricity users, which I guess which are we trusting, 2012 or 2023 comments on that one? But to get back to your initial question, we're really just starting to see these big projects come down the pike of where there could be competitive bidding or not. Like I said, this is a new tranche of projects coming through. So we're really just seeing the initial results of the states that have competitive bidding still and the states that have passed ROFR. So I don't believe Minnesota has gotten any of the projects from the first tranche. But we have seen two competitive bids come through for one through an Iowa-Missouri transmission line project and another one from the Indiana-Michigan project, both of which saw substantial cost savings for consumers through the competitive bidding process.
Let's look at that pushback for a moment, because proponents of this bill say the legislation would ensure that Wisconsin controls our state's energy future rather than out-of-state investors. What is your response to that argument?
So I think, right, when you look at, first of all, we're talking about Wisconsin families and businesses that are going to be paying for these costs. And I firmly believe that if the best way to protect Wisconsinites is to help them lower their monthly electricity bills. Energy poverty is a growing problem in Wisconsin and in across America. And if we can save millions to hundreds of millions of dollars on those monthly electricity bills for Wisconsin residents and Wisconsin families, we should absolutely be doing that. And the argument that this is somehow handing over control to out-of-state hedge funds, I think, is really a red herring, because almost every utility company, with the exception of co-ops in Wisconsin, has probably some ownership from out-of-state hedge funds too, specifically transmission line companies who are owned by utilities who are then owned by out-of-state hedge fund managers. So it's really a complete red herring of an argument.
Megan Novak is State Director of Americans for Prosperity Wisconsin, as we discuss policies that could affect future energy transmission and ratepayers. Call in with a question. You can share your views along the way at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We get perspective from the free market advocacy group Americans for Prosperity on a package of bills that would affect Wisconsin ratepayers and the future of transmission line construction in our state. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Megan Novak is with us, State Director of Americans for Prosperity. Megan, Wisconsin utility companies are requesting millions of dollars in rate hikes over the next year, and you oppose these requests. Can you explain why?
You know, I don't think it's fair to say we completely oppose the request outright, but what we're concerned about is another round of rate hikes on top of what we've seen over the last couple of years of double-digit percentage increases on Wisconsin families. And now they're most... Almost every single one of the rate case, exception of one, is looking for another increase. And we know inflation is impacting families all across the state. And we just have concerns of this ongoing energy poverty issue that so many of our fellow residents are facing. We did a tour this summer called Prosperity is Possible, where we went around and talked to residents and citizens at grocery stores and gas stations from every corner of the state, from Milwaukee up to Minong in far northwest Wisconsin. And the stories that we heard of people who are just really struggling in our current economy to make ends meet were heartbreaking. And we provided some inflation relief through different gift cards for the grocery store, the gas station. And I had one woman who told me that she was so thankful that this month she didn't have to choose between buying diapers and buying groceries, because we were able to help her out with a gift card. And at the end of the day, maybe she didn't bring up her monthly electricity bill, but we know that with another round of rate increases, that decision is going to get harder and harder for her family in the current economy.
So, you know, What is the process for companies to increase their rates? And what is the role of the Public Service Commission in this moment to approve these rate increases?
Yep. So the utility companies have to go through a lengthy regulatory bureaucratic process to get a rate increase, where they have to put together essentially an argument. It's a mini court case is how I think we can best compare it, of their support for why they need that rate increase. Our Public Service Commission is, of course, the regulators of this industry. And so they create an entire case file. They seek input from energy users, from the largest energy users in our state to everyday residents and consumers like you and I, to try and get information and public comment to see if the rate case makes sense and what the final number should be. And then usually this time of year, so last week we just saw the PSC approve the rate increase for MG&E.
So Madison Gas and Electric.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So Madison area residents just will see that rate increase go into effect in January. And they just approved 1.5% this year and almost 6% next year for that rate increase. And we'll see the PSC approve these rate increases probably every week through the rest of November going into Thanksgiving for the consumers outside of the state.
Using Madison Gas and Electric as kind of a case study here, on Friday, as you mentioned, the Public Service Commission voted, and they also voted to reduce slightly the profit rate that MG&E is allowed to earn. What should profit margins be for utilities?
Oh, Kate, that's a great question. And as I'm not a regulator, so I can't pick a number out of thin air. But I think if we go back to the competitive bidding issue we were talking about before the break, some of the competitive bids, other companies were willing to take a percentage, almost in a complete percentage point off of their profit, which is the return on equity, through their competitive bid. So I don't think there's something that I can say of, you know, 7% is what's fair. But right now, at least on the transmission line side of things, those companies are guaranteed 10.52% return on equity. But through competitive bidding, we're seeing companies willing to go down to 9.8%, which is huge when we're talking about a $200 million project. That's a lot of savings. And so I think that's where we can go back to the importance of the competitive free market forces onto this regulated industry, where we can make a difference in what's ultimately paid by ratepayers.
With that said, in general, do you think are earning caps necessary for utilities?
You know, I think with the regulations that we have and the state statutes that we have, it does make sense of that there should be some sort of regulatory oversight into the process. And what that looks like exactly, I think right now, the PSC has that control, and they should maintain control over those rate increases and what that profit margin would be. I'd like to, you know, if there's someone who's willing to say, hey, let's take a look at a proposal, I think that's something we would definitely review. I don't know if we would necessarily support or oppose something like that without seeing, you know, specific statutory language to massively change how the utilities are regulated right now, though.
We're talking about Wisconsin utilities with Megan Novak, State Director of Americans for Prosperity Wisconsin. That's a libertarian political advocacy group. You can join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Megan, we heard from Kent in Reedstown and is asking about grid enhancement technology, and this would make the grid more efficient, Kent says. And do you think advancing technology could reduce energy prices for ratepayers?
You know, that sounds like an absolute free market opportunity. With the development of new technology, generally we see cost decreases for goods in almost every sector. And so I think absolutely we should be, again, utilizing free market forces on this highly regulated monopoly industry to try and drive down costs wherever we can, while still maintaining reliability and safety standards for all of us in Wisconsin who rely on readily available energy.
When you say highly regulated monopoly industry, I mean, that could cause people to be really concerned about those words. And I want to dig deeper into this package of bills that would really step up transparency and increase reporting to the Public Service Commission. And companies would be required to report plans for future projects or closing power plants. What do you think? Better transparency, more communication would help the system as a whole?
Absolutely. This package of bills, the utility sunshine package, that is the ultimate goal, is to provide a little bit more transparency and public input into this process that maybe flies under the radar, but ultimately impacts every single Wisconsinite. And I think, you know, one of the easiest ones to explain is right now when a utility comes to the PSC with a rate increase request, a notice goes out to the bill payers in their monthly bill. And so let's say that we'll call it Megan's Electric Company requests a 5% increase going into next year. And that notice goes out to all of my customers. And then I decide a month later that after looking at my numbers and everything, I decide actually that should be a 12% increase. There is no requirement in state law right now that customers are then re-notified of that new, much larger, much more impactful rate hike. And so one of the bills in this package simply says, if it's a 1% more rate hike from the initial proposal that's notified to consumers, they absolutely need to be made aware of that as it goes through the rate case process.
Do you think there is a lack of communication or accountability now between utilities and state regulators?
I just think there could be more. I think more oversight and transparency for the public is always a good thing. And that's what this package of bills ultimately aims to do, is to provide that more opportunities for Wisconsinites to be aware of what's going on with their utility bills.
Megan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Megan Novak is State Director of Americans for Prosperity Wisconsin. That's a libertarian conservative political advocacy group. You can visit our program page to stream or download more programs from The Morning Show. Visit WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.